missionary for many, many years. Always had the utmost respect for her, and just to see God continue to add to it. We sometimes, for whatever reason, we think that God gets us to a certain place and he can't do any more. I tell you firsthand, as well as Jerry would say the same thing, that if you're just open to the Lord using you, then life gets real exciting. Regardless of whether you're 17 years old or 49 years old. It doesn't matter. He'll take you just where you're at, and he'll advance you to a place. Amen. What we want to do, obviously, is cooperate with him. Tonight, I'm talking about seeds. If you weren't here last week, we had a marriage conference last week, and our speaker talked about the nature of seeds. Glenn Eastman, amazing sermon. I would encourage you to get online and listen to it, or download our app and listen to it. The nature of seed. You got to understand the nature of seed, because that's the way the kingdom works. If you're trying to figure out how does this whole thing work, well, you got to understand the nature of seed. And the nature of seed is really multiplication. You can have seed in your hand, and it doesn't do any good unless you what? You plant seed. And so I always encourage believers to quit talking about stuff and do stuff. See, to talk, and a lot of people like to talk because it's easy. To talk is just to hold seeds in your hand. And you can hold seeds in your hand till you're 85 and nothing will happen. Except maybe you might get tired, right, holding seeds in your hand. But it's when you begin to plant seeds that things begin to multiply. And that's really the way the kingdom works. So I want to begin tonight by asking if you've had one of these days. If you've ever had a day in which literally everything's against you. I mean, what, I don't know. Have you ever had a day where just everything is just against me? Raise your hand if you've ever had that kind of day. Good. I'm glad. I'm glad you've had that kind of day. So I got a good message for you. You know, when you have that kind of day, it seems like time is against you. It seems like your energy is against you. It seems like work is against you. It seems like your kids is against you. Your spouse is against you. Your boss is against you. I mean, your dog's against you. I mean, it just can it get any worse? We all have those kind of days. See, and King David, before he was really king, he had been anointed king, but he hadn't taken the throne yet. He had one of those kind of days. In 1 Samuel 30, this is about 880 BC, David, he's gathered to himself a bunch of guys that are, I mean, they're the misfits, if there ever was. There was these guys that nobody wanted them, you know. A few of those guys were, you know, on parole or something. I mean, they're just guys that were just, you know, kind of rough around the edges, right? And yet they gravitated to David, and David was out, you know, doing what he did with his men. There was really 600 men with David, and so he's out in Philistine country. Really, Saul, the king, the sitting king, is trying to kill him, so he goes into Philistine country to try to get some protection, and so he tries to really align himself with them in some of the battles, which he did. One of the battles is against Israel, I mean, against family, and so God, it's a miraculous thing how God intercedes really and keeps him from doing that. But anyway, here he is, David with 600 men. The Philistine king had given him the town of Ziklag, which is in southern Israel. Actually, when we're in Israel, we drove by there. I mean, it is barren. When you read about, you know, the desert and John the Baptist coming from, you know, hanging out in the desert, yes, believe the Bible. It is desert. There's nothing there. And so there he was. He's in Ziklag. And so they went out. Him and his men go out, and they're, you know, trying to get into some war or whatever, and it doesn't turn out the way they're going to. So on the way back, they take probably about 3 days to get back. When they get back to their town, Ziklag, they realize, oh my gosh, the place has been burned down. The Amalekites had come while, you know, what an opportunity. All the men are gone. All the fighting men are gone. So while they're gone, they come in to the town, and they destroy the town. They take the women, the children, everything. They didn't harm them. They didn't kill them, which in that day, a lot of times they would do that. But instead, they took them. And so when the men get back and realize that the women and children are gone and the town has been completely destroyed, they begin to cry out to God. I mean, that's a bad day, right? That's a bad day. You come home. I mean, can you imagine, even as a man now, right? To come home and realize you've lost everything. And so they began to cry out to God, but then the men began to get a little bitter. And you know how it is. There's something in us that someone's got to pay. We got to blame somebody. You know, we think that it's a new thing in America. Like everybody wants to blame somebody else. No, that's human nature. Human nature. And sure enough, they're like, we got to blame somebody. And they began to blame David. They began to blame David. They're like, you know, it was his idea. His idea. He's to blame. And then they began talking about really, you know, stringing him up. Right? They talk about killing David. It's kind of crazy. What does the scripture do? It's interesting, right? So you got 600 men that are blaming you, 600 men that are against you. What would you do? I'd sneak out in the middle of the night, you know, and get as much distance between me and the men, because these guys are ruffians. Once again, these guys are not guys of character. These are shady dudes, and they're thinking about killing you. You know what it says? Scripture says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Huh. David encouraged. See, sometimes when you're having a terrible, terrible day, you know, you're saying, man, I can't wait to get the church to be encouraged. And while that's great, I'm hoping that today you'll learn to encourage yourself in the Lord, just like David did. You know, you don't have to wait until Saturday night service, but you can do it. See, and here's the thing you got to understand about seed. See, David had already planted the seeds. See, he was one, and the seed that he planted was the seed of presence. He loved to sit before the Lord. He loved to spend time with the Lord. He really did. In fact, he's described by the Lord as a man after my own heart. I'm like, Lord, I want it to be me. That you say, you know, angels, that Carlos, he just, the favorite thing he likes doing is just hanging out with me. The favorite thing he likes doing is just talking to me. And that is my favorite time. I mean, I spend more time talking to the Lord than anybody else. And I think that's a good balance. That's a good balance. I talk to him more than I talk to anybody else. And so you must be one who plants the seed, because when that day comes, if you haven't already planted seed, I tell you what, you're out of luck. Right? You're out of luck. But instead, my encouragement to you is that you began to plant those kind of seeds. So I'm talking today about seeds of strength. What are those things that you can plant now that when that day comes, it's not going to throw you? And it will come. That day will come, but if that day will come, it won't throw you. You know, oftentimes a lot of people say, Pastor, it seems like nothing bothers you. Nothing throws you. Well, you know why it doesn't? Because I've been planting those seeds of strength for years. And so I'm going to tell you about some of those seeds that I've planted. Here's the first one. I'm going to give you four. Here's the first one. The first seed that I see in Scripture says this: encourage yourself by focusing on God's might, not on the problem. See, a lot of times we plant the seeds of the problem, and pretty soon the problem seems to grow bigger. And part of that, where it grows, is right here. I don't know why this mind tends to blow up the problem. It never shrinks the problem. I don't know why it doesn't do that. It just makes it bigger and bigger and bigger. But I think what we're to do, the seed we're supposed to do, is the seed that focuses instead of God's might. Look at Ephesians 6:10. It says, finally. See, the Apostle Paul says finally, because he's saying, as a result of everything I wrote to you in the book of Ephesians, right? I talked to you about your identity in Christ, right? I talked to you about what the Lord's wanting to do, God's plans for you, all those things. As a result of all those things, right, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong, or be made strong is really the more accurate translation. Be made strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then he goes on and he talks about the armor of God, the portion of scripture that we're familiar. But he says, be strong. And really, in the original language, it's meant to be continuous. It's meant to be progressive strength. He said, don't allow yourself to get weak. Get stronger and stronger. It's really the picture of someone that has a bow, right? And he, you know, it's a rough day. And so he's shooting that bow. And eventually you get tired. He says, don't allow yourself to get tired. Don't get so weary that the enemy can just do what he wants. You know, I remember when I was a young kid, and some of you will relate, and some of you are like, what's he talking about? You're going to have to Google it. When I was growing up, in the back of comic books was always this thing about Charles Atlas. It had to do with working out, right? And it showed, you know, several segments. It showed this you know, skinny guy, you're right, and this big guy comes and he you know, just throws sand on him or whatever. I hope I'm getting it correct. And it was trying to teach you, you know, get strong, and now once you're strong, you got some muscles, you know, they won't mess with you. Well, you know what? I think that's a good way to think in terms of what the enemy will do with us, right? If we are the kind of people that we haven't planted seeds of strength, then the day will come when he'll have his way with us. So it's meant that it's going to be continuous and progressive. You're going to continue to get stronger. God's willing to give you power if you're weak and you're weary, right? But it says you need to be strong or be made strong in the Lord. In other words, he's talking about positioning yourself. You position yourself to be made strong. How do you position yourself? We know all these things. Prayer, right? Talking to God, getting his take on what's going on. Through prayer, through the Word, right? I read the Word, it reminds me of God. It reminds me of the things that I need to know. Worship, when I worship the Lord, man, it seems like stuff just falls off me. I mean, I can come in here, heavy burden. I can come here with stuff just hanging on me. When I begin to worship and it reminds me of who he is, it's as if stuff just falls off of me. See, I don't have to wait till Saturday or Sunday to do that. I do it all the time. Well, if you hang out with me, you hear me, you know, just always worshiping. Wherever I go, I'm always worshiping, right? Doesn't sound very good, but it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter, right? Somehow it works its way to heaven. Mm. But Isaiah talked about this. Isaiah 40, he says, those who wait upon the Lord will be renewed. Right? Their strength will be renewed. He talks about, you know, even when you walk, you won't faint, right? Right? When you run, you're not going to get weary. And he's got the picture of those soaring. You know, sometimes we're walking, but God is there with us. Sometimes we're running, and God's with us. And I sure love when God's with us when we're soaring. Right? But we encourage ourselves by focusing on God's might, not on the problem. Here's the second thing that I think the second seed that we can do is this. We encourage ourselves by recognizing whose power is greater. I think believers, we give the enemy too much credit here. I don't like them. If you've been here for a while, you probably never even realized it. I never use the enemy's name. I can refer to him as the enemy. He doesn't deserve me to use his name. I don't use his name. In fact, sometimes when his name comes up in what I'm ever typing, you know, normally, obviously, when I grab it and I paste it, you know, it's got a capital S or whatever. I was turned into a lowercase one. I do that just to tick him off. I don't know if he's ticked off or not. But he doesn't deserve my time. And I think as believers, we sometimes give him too much credit, right? But we need to focus on whose power is greater. And in case you wonder, here it is. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, talking about you and I, little children, and have overcome them. He's talking about he was talking before this about false teachers, about, you know, the phonies, about just the things that the enemy brings. He says there's all kinds of stuff that comes at us. But he says, but you've overcome them. You're like, oh, how did I do that? He's going to tell you. He says, you don't have to worry about them. You're greater than them. How is that possible? Because he who is in you, who's he talking about? The Holy Spirit, right? Spirit of the living God. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He's letting you know that the power of the Spirit in you, that's resident in you, is greater. In fact, it's not even close. It's not even close. You see, some of us, we came in here feeling condemned. The power that's in you is greater than the condemnation that you've been hearing. Some of us came in here and we're addicted to something. You got to understand that the power is in you is able to break that addiction. It's able to, but we've been trying it on our own. We got up in the morning, okay, today I'm not going to use. Right? No. The power that is resident in us is able to break and take away that desire. The doubts, the lies, even the brokenness from our past. I mean, some of us came in here and we've been carrying brokenness for 40 years. Stuff happened to us and we were kids. Guess what? The power that's in us is great enough to heal that. Once and for all, great enough to heal that. So no matter how strong the attack is against you, you got to understand the Holy Spirit is stronger and the Holy Spirit is greater. Here's a verse that I'm going to give you. You can just write it down. I'm not going to read it. Psalms 37:13. I love this verse because it talks about, it kind of gives the Lord's perspective toward his enemies. It says he laughs at them. That's his attitude toward the enemy and his enemies. And we need to have the same attitude. I do. I do. Not because of me. Not because of, you know, anything I can do. You know, you can take me to the gym and there's probably girls that lift more than I do. Right? I know there's a girl in our church that does. She's only like all of 4'11", you know, 130 pounds. 100, maybe 100 pounds. You know, Allie. I mean, but you know what? It doesn't depend on my strength. Because the one that's in me, right? The one that's in me. See, sometimes, you know how we give the enemy too much credit? We make this mistake in our mind. We think that he's the opposite of God. He's not. Remember, you got to understand, he's a created being. He's an angel who has fallen. He's a fallen angel. And somehow we think, you know, good and evil, and you know, we get out, you know, I think we get our ideas from like the force and light and darkness, and man, that's good Hollywood, but that's lousy Bible. He's not the opposite of God. God, there is no other God but the one true God, the Almighty God. The enemy's just a created being, and you gotta understand that. Is he powerful? Yes. But greater is he who's in you. So no matter what he's thrown at you, doesn't matter. Hey, and so maybe you just got to remind yourself, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Here's the third thing. So not only do we really focus on God's might, not the enemy or our problems, not only do we encourage or recognize that the power in us is greater, the third thing is we encourage ourselves knowing that God is in our corner. I mean, that's, I think, the biggest psych job that the enemy does. He makes us believe that God is mad at us, right? That God, he's like, man, I'm done with you. Let me ask you this question. How many of you want to be, I'm going to ask you for you to be vulnerable. You guys ready to be vulnerable? Okay. How many of you would say, maybe it was a fleeting moment, but somewhere in your Christian walk, you somehow felt that God is like done with you or turned his back on you, or maybe he's mad at you or something. How many would admit? Okay. Good. I think all of us, somehow, we just think, you know, man, I really blew it this time. I really blew it this time. But look what Romans 8:31 says. What then shall we say to these things? So then he tells you, if God is for us, and the answer to that is what? Yes, he is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? He says, God is in the ring with me. He is so for me. He didn't switch sides. See, sometimes we think it's like God punishing us. And I hear that as a pastor. Sometimes people think like God's mad at us. He's punishing me. I'm going through this because of God. I'm like, no. You think God switched sides? He didn't switch sides. You got to understand that when you came into the kingdom, you had nothing to offer him. And somehow you think you got to keep offering something to him for you to be acceptable. You had nothing to offer. It was all Jesus. That's why he sent his son. You're like, why did he send his son? Because we had nothing to offer. So quit trying to offer anything. You can't do anything to get God on your good graces. I wake up and you know, if I'm going to offer anything, I want to offer my obedience to him because I love him. That's why. Not because I'm thinking, okay, I want to get on God's good side. I will always be on his good side. I'll always be on his good side. And so he says, if God before us, and he is, who can be against us? See, we need to have our eyes open. You know, God is with us, and if God is with us, then the angels are with us, right? See, we sometimes forget that the angels are with us. See, the prophet Elijah had to have his servant understand that. And prophet Elijah, his servant wakes up in the morning, and goes out of the tent and he sees an army all around and begins to freak out. Right? Begins to freak out. So he goes and tells Elisha, oh, there's an army out there. Right? And they've been looking for him. And Elisha's not freaked out. I'm sure the servant's like, Elisha, aren't you freaked out? Didn't you hear what I said? There's a whole army in the hills. And he says, those who are with us are greater than those who are against us. Right? There's more with us than against us. Right? And then he prays, Lord, open his eyes. Right? He's praying, Lord, open the servant's eyes, because Elijah knew that. Those who are with us are more than those that are with them. And sure enough, he opens his eyes and he begins to see indeed the angelic host. But you know what? We need to have our eyes open too, because we forget that the angelic hosts minister to us all day long, every day. They are at the beck and call of the Lord, and a lot of times we don't even think they exist, at least the way we conduct ourselves, right? The moment you begin to pray over your city, whatever your city is, whether it's Rainier or it's Gaston or somewhere, when you begin to pray over your city, if you were able to see in the spiritual realm, you would see angelic activity in response to your prayers. Same when you begin to pray for somebody else, a family member, angelic response as a result of your prayers. But we a lot of times don't see that. And that's why my encouragement is pray even more and pray even more and see what happens. Don't listen to the enemy's lies, right? That somehow God's against you or God's mad at you. Romans 8 tells us, right, that there's no way we can be separated from the love of God. No way. No way. You're not outnumbered. You're not outgunned. It's not even close. So number four, here's the fourth thing that I want you to see. The fourth seed. Encourage yourself and walk like one who conquers. I want you to walk differently than you've ever walked. Walk like someone who conquers. Walk like someone when you show up in the room, everything changes in the room. We talk about when we sing the song that when the Lord comes, everything changes, right? Well, we got to understand that it changes even when we show up because he's with us. When God's people show up, something happens. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He says, you got to understand, you're not like eking out a win, right? It's not like an overtime kind of game. You didn't just like scratch out a win. Forgive me for using this analogy, but he's saying you kicked rear. You thought I was going to say it, but I'm in church. Okay? That's what he's saying. And sometimes we think we're, you know, oh, I hope I can win in this issue. Whether it's addiction. I don't care if the addiction has been a battle for you for 20 years. It doesn't matter. You got to understand today that God's plan is that addiction be broken and not just barely broken. Not just barely broken. That you wouldn't even have that draw anymore. That it would no longer trip you up. We're more than conquerors. How else? I put a few things. How else are we more believers more than conquerors? I think in the way we love. The most loving people that I ever have met are believers. See, and we don't give ourselves really the benefit of the doubt. We don't even give ourselves credit for that. Because once again, we live in a world that likes to, you know, talk about all the things that have gone wrong. Right? They'll say stuff like, well, you know, the church is so judgmental. Well, you know what they say about that? When they start talking about it like that, you know, I start saying, well, okay, let me look at what your world does. Let me look at your world. Let me look at where you hang out. Right? I would rather entrust myself to a believer than a non-believer because they're very loving people. The first people that loved me on this planet more than, you know, my mom and my dad were really believers. And I'm like, I want that. I don't know. These people are strange because they love me, even though I'm unlovable. So we're more than conquerors regarding love. We're more than conquerors regarding hope. We're more than conquerors regarding service. Believers never get the credit for all the good that they do in this community and beyond. You heard me mention that whenever there's a catastrophe anywhere in the world, you know who shows up? Believers. And you never hear about that. You never hear about that. We're going to have people go and help the homeless, right? Serve the youth. You never hear about that. You're never going to hear about that. Now, if some scandal happens, yeah, you'll hear about that. I mean, that's just the way it works. But I tell you what, we're more than conquerors because we're people that serve. You know, we're going to be taking 100 people to Mexico plus here over spring break. And we're going to build several houses. And we're going to give it to the people. And it's not going to cost them a penny because we're paying for it all. We're not going to read that about that in the paper, right? East River, going to Mexico, building houses. You're not going to hear about that. I'll tell you what, we're more than conquerors, right? And also, I think we're more than conquerors because I think the most courageous people are believers. The most courageous people that I know are believers. We somehow, and you got to get rid of this. You've heard me say it before, I love brawlers. And in our church, we have a lot of men. We have a lot of strong men, right? And somehow we live in a culture that wants us to apologize for being strong men. And you know what? That's not God's design for us. God made men strong, and we're not going to apologize. Amen? We're not going to apologize for that at all. He made us strong. Now, once again, we're not going to use that strength to somehow take advantage of people. Quite the contrary. But God made us strong. God made us courageous, and it's okay to be courageous. It's okay to be strong. It's okay to run into a burning building. It's okay to help somebody if there's, you know, potential loss of life. It's okay. God called us to be courageous people. So in that sense, we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Like David, man, we're supposed to run at the giant. I'm like, man, I don't care that he's big. Right? Because the one who's in me is greater. I don't care how big it looks. I don't care if everybody says it's impossible. I can run at the giant, and I'm not going to only knock him out. I'm going to take his head so he don't get back up. See? It's in the Word. It's in the Word. And we're like, you know, we're sometimes like want to be, well, you know, I'm. No. There's some giants in the land that need to be decapitated. Right? There's a lot of wrong stuff that happens in our nation, and we can't stay silent, right? We need to come against those things. There's a lot of wrong things that are there, right? So once again, we don't get credit for the things that have happened in our nation that are good. But I tell you what, if you study history, a lot of God's people are behind a lot of good things, right? They really are. I love when in Numbers 13, when the spies were sent into the promised land to spy it out, you know, a dozen were sent in, right? Two of the guys come out, and Caleb is one that says, man, I think we can take the land. Yeah, there's giants in the land. Yeah, it's fortified, but I think with God's help, we can take the land. See, I think that's what the Lord wants to develop in you, that you have confidence that you can take the land because of him. That you can make a difference in your community, in your family, because of him. See, sometimes as a pastor, I hear people say, well, you know, my family has had alcoholism for generations. Well, you know what? The Lord wants you to take up and say, you know what? But it stops with my generation. That it no longer is going to, well, we've had this in my family. You know, we've all been sick. We've all had heart problems. Well, it stops with me. It will not pass on to generations. See, the Lord's looking for some people that will believe what he says. That if the Lord says it's possible, that we will say, yes, it is possible. And Lord, I'm going to run after that giant. I don't care how long it's been a part of our family. If God says we will win, we will win. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to have you pray this. I'm going to pray it, and you pray it for yourself. Are you guys ready? Okay, here we go. Go ahead and stand up. I'm going to have you put just your hands on your chest, and I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Spore, you want to come on up? So repeat after me. With conviction. Say it like you mean it. Okay? Say it like you mean it. Put your hand on your chest. Here we go. I will not faint.
I will not faint.
I will not give up.
I will not give up.
I will not go home defeated.
I will not go home defeated.
Instead, I will be a victor.
I will be a victor.
In every situation.
I will move in the power and strength
of Almighty God.
There will be no limitations
regarding the plans that God has for me. Seal it with your amen.
Amen.
Amen. God's just getting started with you. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord.
Worthy of every song we have ever sang.